Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Mem Zayin, Sota 47a, pagination is 93. We're starting about 20 lines down on the page, continuing the story of Elisha at Yericho, where Elisha encountered that the water was not drinkable, and he miraculously made the water good. Vayomru anshei ha'ir el Elisha. The people had said to Elisha, as the story was unfolding, Hineina moshav ha'ir tov, kasher adoni roeh. Living over here in this city is very good, like you can tell. Asks the Gemara, v'chi me'acher demayim ro'im. The water is bad. The eretz mishakolis, and the land is not healthy for the people. Elamato vasa. It's astounding. How could they describe the land as good, the city as good, if it doesn't have good water and the environment is not supportive and healthy for the people? They say the terrible joke about the night that Lincoln was shot. Okay, Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, how was your evening? How could you describe it as a good place? Amar Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan said, there's a very specific phenomena playing over here. Chein makom al yoshvav. The place is blessed with a certain grace towards those who live there. They think they're living in a good place. Hashem wired such a perception in creation that people should think it's really good, except for this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan affirmed that there are indeed three types of chein, three types of grace that exist in the world. Chein makom al yoshvav, the grace that a place has to those who dwell there. They think they're living in the best place. Chein isha al baila, the grace that a woman has to her husband. He thinks she's the best in the world. And chein mekach al mikcho, when a person makes a purchase, that purchase is dear to the one who purchased it, and he feels that he got the best deal. He got something very good. It's interesting that sometimes we encounter people who do not seem to experience, they do not exhibit these types of chein. People who are not happy with a spouse, people who are not happy with a place they live, people who are not happy with their lot in life, the things they buy. So it could be that sometimes it's a gift, it's a catalyst for change, maybe something's wrong. But what is probably more common is that it's the equivalent of an illness, it's like a depression, it's an unfortunate state. It's not the natural state with which Hashem wired the world. The gift is that even though it's irrational, but a spouse sees in their spouse the best. A person sees in the city they live, it's the best. And the same apparently with things they purchase. And if it's not like that, again, barring the possibility that they're noticing a need for change. But under normal circumstances, it would seem that it's simply an illness that has to be addressed, where it's an emotional illness, where people are just not happy, not happy with themselves, not happy with their spouse, not happy with the place they are, etc. The Gemara continues on the topic of Elisha. Tana Rabbanan, we learned, Shalosha Chaloim Chola Elisha. Elisha had six specific identifiable illnesses in his life, and they were the result of specific events. Echad, one of them, Shegira Dubim Bitinokos, because he overreacted in the eyes of the Gemara when he caused those bears to attack those who were taunting him, and 42 children died as a result. So that happened early in Elisha's leadership career, and it was not a good thing. And he had an illness because of it, an atonement. One illness he experienced because he pushed Gehazi away with both hands. And the Gemara develops this theme and tells us that a person's simol docha vimin mikareves, the weaker hand should push away in rebuke, but the stronger hand should bring the person close. And Gehazi was Elisha's assistant, so to speak, and Gehazi was not all that he was cracked up to be. He was not the kind of righteous person that Elisha could use as an assistant. And when Elisha caught him lying and in violation, Elisha pushed him away. He cursed him. He pushed him away. And the Gemara, again, as great as Elisha is, the Gemara finds fault in the way he pushed Gehazi away so definitively, and says that one of his illnesses was because of that. And then there was a final illness of his life, the one that he passed away from. The Gemara therefore tells us, about 12 lines from the bottom, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar tells us, Yetzer Tinok V'Isha. The Yetzer Hara, Rashi says, of Tashmish, of intimacy, Tinok, a child who's developing, V'isha, and a person's wife, Te smol docha v'min mikareves. The correction should be done with the weaker hand, gently. You do the correction, but you do it gently. But the stronger hand should bring close. So Yetzer, Rashi says, the Yetzer of Tashmish certainly needs correction. It can't be unbridled, but a person should not push it away so much that Yakutz Bepirya Verivya, that he wouldn't want to have children, wouldn't want to have relations, wouldn't want to practice normal family life. A child sometimes needs correction, but not to push so strongly Pen Yivrach that he should be damaged, that he should run away, that he doesn't feel that he has a place. So gently, but with the stronger hand, to show love. V'isha, and a woman as well, afhi daita kalo, which is normally translated as more emotional and requiring a certain degree of gentleness, and a person should realize that as well. There's sometimes need for rebuke or correction, but it should be with the weaker hand, the stronger hand, the greater emotion that's exhibited should be love and affection and encouragement. The Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Gimel gives an example of this. The Gemara says that the wife of Rav Yosef was lighting the candles on Shabbos Eve. She was lighting them too close to Shabbos. And Rav Yosef wanted to correct her and explain that the lights have to be lit while it's still day. So the Gemara relates, at least the Pashat Pshat of the Gemara, is that Rav Yosef apparently didn't want to give her rebuke that you're cutting it too close to Shabbos and it's a risk of Chilul Shabbos, that would be a harsh way of expressing himself. Instead, what he said to her was that the way of Hashem, when he guided the Jewish people in the desert after the Exodus from Mitzrayim is that the cloud would lead by day and a pillar of fire would lead at night. But the Jewish people were never abandoned. It was never that the cloud disappeared and then they had to wait, hoping that the pillar of fire would come. And the pillar of fire didn't leave, and then they were stuck waiting for the cloud to come. There was always overlap, so that the fire came even during the daytime while the cloud was still on shift. So Rav Yosef told her that the correct time to introduce the fire of Shabbos is while it's still day, to emulate the way Hashem guided the Jewish people in the desert. And the Mefarshim say this is an example of putting a positive spin on the correction that has to be expressed. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.